We're in a season where God is renewing our faith. And faith is so important. You've heard about it all your Christian life. But the reality of faith and the spirit and what it can work, we've just scratched the surface. I think a lot of it's still theory or doctrine to us. But the actual experience God wants to lead us deeper into. I know that everyone faces difficulties. And when people become a Christian, they join a church, they think, well, okay, my problems are going to go away, everything's going to be fine. Life is painful. Life brings joy. For the unbeliever or the believer, you can't escape pain. You can't escape problems. We're called to live in two realms. Jesus didn't tell the disciples, I'm going to leave and then I'm going to take you up where you're not going to experience any hardship. He said, I've conquered the world. I give you my peace. So you're going to be in this world. You're going to suffer. You're not of this world.
That's right.
You're going to dwell in another realm. And faith has two directions to it. Faith opens our awareness of the heavenly realm. Faith is what gives us access to experience God's very presence and heart and allow that presence to be a reality in this physical realm that we live in. So God doesn't take us out of this world and out of problems, but he gives us himself, a place where we can dwell that even though our circumstances may not be peaceful, we can have peace. Even though there may be pain in our life and people we're concerned about, we can have joy because the Spirit supplies that. Faith gives us access to that. So you say you look at faith as being kind of a vertical direction. It's kind of the pathway, the open door into God's realm. Faith also has, and we'll look at a few scriptures on that before we go into the second direction, is horizontal in how we relate to one another. Hebrews 11, it says, faith pleases God. We could stop right there.
Amen.
When you are believing, you're pleasing the heart of the Father. He doesn't ask you to perfect your flesh, because you can't do that anyway. We're not under the law. And all our striving to do better and jump through hoops to make God happier, God doesn't relate to us that way. He accepts us fully as we are. By the blood of Christ, we've been forgiven and we're seated with him in heavenly places. But that sense of knowing that you're pleasing God doesn't come from works. It comes from faith. Faith comes from God. Romans 12:3 says, God has given to each a measure of faith. So we're not talking about something we generate with our self-will. We're talking about taking care of a seed that God has planted in all of us, that seed of faith. In Romans 4:3, it says, Abraham trusted God to set him right instead of trying to be right on his own. Powerful. When we're moving in faith, it ends the striving of trying to be right with God. We all want that. But you can't do it in your own strength. And true faith is awareness that we can't be independent from God's presence, his help. We rely on him. Jesus said that. I can do nothing of my own strength, of my own independence will. He said, everything I do is what I see the Father do, what I hear the Father speak. He was totally dependent on the Father. But that's what faith brings us to, that place where we're dependent on God. And we realize that being right with God is something that God works in us, not something that we strive for. And when you're in that mode of striving, you're outside the realm of faith, and you're open to the lies of the enemy and all the harassment that the enemy brings of you're not worthy, try harder, do it a different way. There's so much that tries to take us away from the rest that faith brings to our life. In chapter 4 of Romans, verse 18, it says, when everything was hopeless, I like that, Abraham believed God anyway, deciding not to live on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do, but on what God said he would do. When everything was hopeless, how often in our emotions, in our mind, we go through states where our thoughts are off, our moods get off, We're human. God understands that. That has nothing to do with faith. Abraham looked at his situation, and as far as having a child, said, this is hopeless. But he says he believed God anyway. No matter what's going on in your emotions and mind, you can still have that trust and faith in God.
Amen.
Faith is not a feeling. It's not trying to control your thinking. It's the attitude of your heart and spirit that no matter what life looks like, I'm trusting God. My anchor's in Him.
Amen.
I like that. It's we live on the basis of what He... To live not on the basis of what he saw he couldn't do. In other words, Abraham wasn't relating to God but by what couldn't happen. But he's relating to God as far as what God had spoken. We don't have to make the word happen. We speak the word of God. But the real underlying power is we believe what he has said. Doesn't matter how things appear. Faith is anchored in, if God spoke it, it's true. And when we trust in the word of the Lord, it brings rest to our soul. Faith has that horizontal direction. I don't think we can truly have a family spirit or oneness unless we see each other through the eyes of faith. In Galatians 5:6, it says, for in Christ, neither the most conscientious religion nor disregarded religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior. Faith expressed in love. Galatians 5:6. Religion is something you can be a part of, and it doesn't require faith. Being spiritual and walking with the Lord requires faith. What Paul is saying is saying whether you're religious or not religious, that isn't an issue. The spiritual state is faith expressing through love. Faith working through love. When that is what's happening in our lives as we relate to one another, oneness is being created. A family spirit is being created. Apart from that, our thinking, if we think about one another, apart from that, the glasses, a lot of us are wearing glasses here, that perspective of faith, we're going to be judgmental. The human mind, without intervention from God, without renewal from the Spirit of God, will always go flow to the negative.
Yeah.
We're going to be judgmental. We want to be in control. And we're going to look at each other in a negative light. We're going to look at what's wrong instead of what God has done. So without faith, and if we're trying to see each other and we don't have that perspective of faith, the family spirit's not created. The oneness is not created. We can relate with our own thinking, preconceived ideas, opinions, and often that is what prevails in religion too. People come to the same church, they say, bless you brother, bless you sister, but there's a lot of criticism underlying, there's a lot of negativity. We all, always, as we look at our human state and look at one another, we can find fault. And God doesn't change that. He says, I'm not going to take you out of the experience of being human, but if you want, I'll give you a new perspective.
Amen.
Where you can see something else in your brother and sister besides the faults of the flesh. You can see that seed of Christ. You can see that pearl of great price. Jesus said, a house divided itself, divided against itself will not stand. When we're critical, when we're judgmental, we become divided. And so often that is a state of religion. Religion creates, instead of oneness, a religious spirit often creates division. Everybody divides off. Doctrine, but one group will think one way, and then some people start thinking another way. And they're like, no, you can't think that way. That's not the way we're thinking about things, so you go form another church. And so the human mind will continually divide. But the problem is if we continually divide, we can't stand. And looking at one another with that perspective of faith, you see that family spirit. God creates something that you can stand on. When we're family, that's what the early church experienced.
Amen.
And it didn't matter. You throw persecution at family, and it's like throwing gasoline on a fire. It just causes the Spirit of God to spread that much more. But you bring persecution against a divided house, everybody runs for the hills. We're going to need to be the family of God in the earth to be what God wants us to be in this season and what he's doing. And that, again, comes from faith. Seeing others through the eyes of faith releases God's love to bless and create in one another. 1 Corinthians 5 says, "Now we look inside." Now we look inside. That's the perspective of faith. I didn't give you a verse number. I'm sorry. It's somewhere in that chapter. We look inside by faith. What we see is that anyone united with the Messiah is created new. I'm reading from the Message Bible. If yours will read a little bit differently. So what faith allows you to see is a person's oneness with Christ. That's what's new. Then how you relate to that person becomes new because you're seeing something different. That person's personality doesn't have to change. We always say, well, you know, we're going to be one as long as we get rid of all these faults. If, you know, once this person changes, and Jesus had a good answer for that. First, take the log out of your own eye before removing the speck from your brother or sister's eye. We tend to be more judgmental when we have a lot of issues going on in our own life that we don't want to face. And maybe the enemy's condemning us, we feel shame. So one way of masking that is to be critical of others. It gives someone a feeling of superiority. Amen. But the eyes of faith are eyes of humility. And when you see the Christ in your brother and sister, it releases honor. You honor that person. It's a different perspective. And you realize that the oneness in Christ is the greatest reality we have on this planet. Nothing can break that oneness of love. True faith, well, either we're going to, in relating to one another, either we're going to see oneness created by faith, or we're going to work division. I don't think there's a middle ground. You can't say, well, I'm just going to stand still and I don't want to bring harm to anybody, but I don't want to put the energy into looking at people with faith. No, you got to be one way or the other. Either we see people the way God sees them, or our natural mind's in control, and we're going to create division. We can create division or oneness, depending on if we allow faith to work, or we're relying on our own judgments. True faith is focused on God. That's why it's with humility. Faith pleases God. It's focused on God. It dismantles the self-centered will. When we're moving in real faith, that self-centered will, and our will, apart from God, is self-absorbed. I don't care who you are, how religious you are. The only thing that can dismantle that is when we're focused on God, the humility, the faith. Then he's able to change us inside, in our core. And with our will, we can will to do the will of God. Our will can change from being self-absorbed to being Christ-centered. And that's what we're looking for. I wrote this down. Either in relating to one another, either we impose or impart. Let me explain that real quick. Without the work of the Spirit, we want to be in control. Because we look inside, there's insecurity, there's fear. And then again, another way to mask that insecurity that people feel is to control others. The more lives you feel you have orbiting around your will, you don't have to face that deep fear inside of, who am I? Where am I? But only God can heal those deep identity issues. That's why he spoke over Jesus when Jesus was baptized in water. This is my beloved son. He gave affirmation. So Jesus' identity was based on what God said, not on what people said. But we not having that, and even when we come into the Lord, I don't know how many have heard that voice of affirmation. We need to hear it a lot more, even if we've heard it. We need our identity created by God's love and voice. Without that, we mask the pain, and we try to control other people. Now, what happens when we exercise control? When we need to control others, it breaks the awareness of oneness, and it stops the flow of God's love. Control, and it's not just leadership. When we, in our relationships, feel we have the need to control what another person does or says, or they've got to meet our expectations. I love you, but it's conditional. You got to be what I want you to be. Okay, that control is like a wall blocking the awareness of God's love and oneness. The family spirit, as we look at one another, we don't control. We don't impose our will on others. We impart the will of God. We impart God's nature. In John chapter 13, verse 12, Jesus, having all authority, he knelt down. This is the Last Supper, and he washed the disciples' feet. He said, "So if I, the master and teacher, washed your feet, you must now wash each other's feet." Very clear instructions on how to relate to one another. If I, your Lord and Master, teacher, master, son of God, this is how you're to relate to one another. He got on his knees. When you kneel, you can impart. When you're trying to stand above other people, that's control. I want to be important. I want people to see how important I am. Okay, that's a human need. But that puts you in a place where you can't impart anything but oppression. But when we're on our knees in that humility, and we humble ourselves one to another, bondservants, that opens the door for impartation of the presence of God. I'd like to close with one example from the Old Testament, book of Judges, chapters 6 and 7. You read about Gideon, and you're all familiar with the story, but Israel at this time was being oppressed by the warring nations around them. And I think the main oppressor were the Midianites, not that that's important. But the angel of the Lord comes to Gideon and says, "The Lord is with you, oh mighty man of valor," something like that. And Gideon's response is, "What? If God's with us, why is he allowing all these bad things to happen?" Gideon confronts the word of God with negativity. Now what I want you to look at as you go through chapter 6, you remember how it ends up. He goes out with 300 men, and he is a man of valor, and the enemy's put to flight, and Israel has a great victory through him. But it took a while for Gideon to get that point. He's arguing with God through this chapter. He basically does not see himself as a man of valor. He doesn't want to see himself as a man of valor. Whatever his self-image was, Gideon was content just to let it be. How does God deal with him? When he first said to the angel, "God can't be with us. If he was with us, why is he letting all this bad stuff happen?" God could have said, "Forget you, I'm on to someone else." But God doesn't do that. He brings affirmation. The angel continues to talk to him, continues to work with him. Gideon requires, remember the golden fleece, he requires all these signs. If you're really with me, you got to do it this way. God does it. Okay, now one more time. If you're really with me, let's do it that way. God brings affirmation to him. And that's how Gideon is able to change. This is how we're to be with one another. On our knees, you bring affirmation. You bring blessing. You impart grace to your brother and your sister. We all have issues with our self-identity. You're not going to shame someone out of a negative state. And that too often that's what happens in church. People are preached at. Rules, regulations, legalism. All that does is worsen the problem that we have. We want each and every one of us to see ourselves the way God sees us. And if we can honor one another and affirm one another, that's the way God moves. Our self-image will change. And we'll see through the eyes of faith what God is doing. Family. That's what's going to survive in these days and thrive in these days. The family of God. And how we relate to one another creates that atmosphere. Amen. Let's stand.